If money affects your life in any way, Money Making Sense will talk about it. Be financially healthy, wealthy, and wise. Here's your host, Heather Kelly.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we're talking about the cost of internet while you're working from home during a pandemic. Joining me today is Rebecca Armstrong. She's a staff writer with HighSpeedInternet.com. So welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
As you know, and most of the listeners do, a fair majority of workers who aren't essential workers were sent home, work from there, either reduced hours, maybe the same amount of hours. But we are all glued to our computers at home now. And I don't know about everybody else, but mine certainly, I didn't purchase it for the use of a bunch of extra work duties.
Same here. I've been working from home since March, and I've definitely found some hiccups in the process because I didn't purchase my internet plan thinking that I would be working on it.
Yeah. And not only that, I have a laptop, which I like and enjoy and is pretty powerful laptop, and it's got video capability. But unfortunately, because I'm in broadcasting, I can't hook up everything that I need to the laptop in order to broadcast. So I do have a home PC, which is just sort of a backup type of a thing where I would store files on. And that's where I've been having to do on-air broadcasting. But it's cumbersome. It doesn't have video capability. The internet is, and maybe it'd be the same on the laptop, but my internet is just not keeping up. And it's not the Wi-Fi. First of all, can we clarify between what Wi-Fi is versus internet?
For sure. Wi-Fi is a way of distributing internet signals. Internet is the connection to the like wider world web. So Wi-Fi is internet, but not all internet is Wi-Fi.
So for me, my internet connection comes in from the wall, and then I use a router which sends the Wi-Fi signal of that internet to all my other electronic devices. And whenever I test everything, the Wi-Fi says it's great, like it has a great signal or excellent signal, but the internet signal says it's poor or fair at best. And I don't know how to fix that.
Well, there are a lot of things you can do to speed up internet connections. One of them, of course, is upgrading your connection to a higher tier plan. But if you're getting poor signal to your home, testing your internet signal from your router as opposed to testing your Wi-Fi to give you a clearer picture of how your internet connection is actually performing.
What do you mean testing the signal from my router?
So basically, connect a computer like your laptop to your router using an Ethernet cable and disconnect all other connections for a second and run an internet speed test and then compare your results to basically the speeds that your internet provider is telling you you should have.
Okay. Because when I do it right now, I use one of those online programs that says test your internet speed and Wi-Fi speed. Right
yeah.
Now, my provider, I'm supposed to be getting 75 Mbps, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm. Per second.
I'm supposed to be getting 75 of those. And at best, I'm getting 9 or 10. And most of the time, it's like 0.25.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's very difficult to do my job sometimes.
Very understandable, especially in broadcast.
Yeah. So I'm sure I am not the only one in this situation. So I'm going to go back to when I first signed up for internet, and it is highway robbery. I tell you, they originally wanted I told them what my uses were. And they're like, oh, okay, we'll give you this. And it's going to be $175 a month, which I understand is actually somewhat reasonable, I guess, across the entire spectrum of internet. But I am like, no, I'm not paying more than $50. Like, there's just no reason that I cannot understand why the internet connection would be so much more expensive than the old phone line type thing where you never paid more than $50 for a landline.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people feel that way. Most people think that about $50 per month is a reasonable price for internet service, preferably less even. But the average price for an internet connection in the U.S. is about $60 per month, and that's just the connection. That's not including the additional like fees and stuff. Including that, it can be like $80, $90 per month.
When I finally pared down, so my originally they told me $175 for everything that I was asking for, and I'm like, no. So we started paring down, and I finally got rid of cable television because I stream most everything anyway. I use a Roku device and stream most stuff. So I'm like, fine, get rid of the cable. And we got it down to a one-year price of $40 per month, but it's going to go up to $75 in a few more months now. So I still think that that is completely unreasonable. Please explain to us why it is that much. And because people are, there's no reason for the internet companies to lower the cost.
Yeah. So one of the things I think that's a barrier to people fighting back about internet prices is that a lot of people don't really understand what the internet is. And they kind of think of it as like some magical thing. And they don't want to mess with it. But that benefits the internet companies because a lot of people don't contest bills. They don't ask for lower prices. And a lot of people don't have a lot of options in their own home. Like at my house, I have two internet options. One of them's very slow and the other one can basically charge however much it wants because I need that internet connection. And like you said, a lot of internet companies have like a reasonable sounding price for the first year or two if you sign a contract, and then raise the price after that introductory period. And a lot of people don't even notice that happening because you're not timing how long you've had your internet connection. And then all of a sudden you're just paying twice as much or $30 more per month. And you don't really notice until you're like, oh, when did this happen?
Right.
And by then you've been paying it for a few months.
One thing I did when I signed up for my internet and they told me this was an introductory price for the first year, I put a reminder in my calendar. So it will send me a message a couple of weeks before that introductory rate goes up. And I will be calling them going, I'm switching.
Yeah, that's smart. That's what we all should do.
We do need to take a break. When we come back, we will go into people do not understand that they can possibly negotiate or how to talk to the internet provider about lowering their internet fee. We'll be right back with Rebecca Armstrong. She is the staff writer at highspeedinternet.com.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Making Sense, the show that if it affects your life in any way, we are talking about it. And today we're talking about internet prices, and that is really affecting a lot more people in the last 7-8 months than it did previously. Joining me today is Rebecca Armstrong. She is a staff writer at highspeedinternet.com. So welcome back to the show, Rebecca.
Hi.
All right. So we went over a little bit about the difference between internet and Wi-Fi in that first segment. And we were talking also about some of the prices and how, to me, I feel they're just outrageously priced for internet speeds. But you had mentioned briefly that people can talk to their providers about getting a lower fee. So how would one go about that?
So my first piece of advice, if you're trying to negotiate with your internet provider, would be to do a little bit of research. Find out what other internet providers are in your area and see if any of them potentially offer lower prices. So when you go to your own internet service provider, you can be like, well, I'm paying this much with you, but this other company would give me this much for less. And it gives you a little bit of a bargaining chip when you're talking to the sales agents.
I do have one question, though. My speed, as I mentioned earlier, is 75. What did you say? MBPS? What
megabits per second.
Megabit.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have 75 megabits per second, which should be enough for everything that I need to do. They originally wanted to put me on 100 megabits per second and charge me 10 times as much. So what is the difference? I mean, I get that the higher the number, the better your speed supposedly is. But how much more do you really get between 75 and 100 Mbps?
Well, for an example, streaming on Netflix in 4K definition takes up about 25 megabits per second per screen. So if you're doing a lot of streaming video, an extra 25 megabits per second would be another screen you can stream on if you have like multiple people in your household who all want to watch different movies. For like one person or two people, 25 megabits per second between 75 and 100 megabits per second could not really affect things. It depends how much internet speed you need. The difference between 75 and 100 or 100 and 200 really depends on how many people use the internet in your house and what you do online. So things like, again, streaming in 4K take up more bandwidth than something like video conference call, which can take like 5 megabits per second of download speed.
Because I do have to do some video conferencing through my work, my 75 Mbps is fine. So how does the internet company get either 200 or 100 or 75 megabits per second into your house? I mean, how does the cable that's coming into my house know, oops, you only get this amount of speed?
It's basically just restricted at the node. The internet company kind of monitors how much speed you're getting and the traffic that goes in and out of your house. They're not like watching what you're doing, but they monitor the traffic and the data to make sure that you're not using too much internet, basically. And if you are, they kind of cut you off. And that can have something to do with if your internet service provider enforces a data cap, which, it like a cell phone and 4G, it limits the amount of high-speed internet you can get and basically cuts you off after you use that much or paid to have more.
Yeah, when I signed up, a pandemic was not on the horizon for anybody. And so
for sure,
I never thought I would be working from home. And so my speed was fine for the purposes I was going to be using it for. And now all of a sudden, I'm having to do triple or quadruple the work. So if I go to my internet provider and say, hey, you promised me I am paying for 75 Mbps, but you most often only provide me with 10 Mbps. What are they going to say or want to do?
Firstly, I would have like a record of how often your speeds are that much lower than they should be. So you could say, I've been taking speed tests every day for like this much time, or like once a week for like a month, and I never get the speeds I'm supposed to. And I feel like the most likely outcome for that situation is that they offer to increase your speed for the same price, or they bump you down to a lower speed plan where you're not promised to get as much internet speed, but it fits more what you're actually getting. And that would save you some money potentially.
Okay. But more often than not, they're going to be, hey, let's bump you up. And by the way, you've got to pay more.
That is a potential outcome, yeah.
Okay, just love internet companies. Okay, well, we need to take one more break. When we come back, we will still be with Rebecca Armstrong. She's a staff writer at highspeedinternet.com. Welcome back to Money Making Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, it's about your internet, working from home, the cost of your internet, which I'm sure everybody is not happy with. Joining me today is Rebecca Armstrong. She's a staff writer at HighSpeedInternet.com. Rebecca, in the last couple of segments, we went over what the internet is versus what Wi-Fi is and the different speeds you may or may not get and what you can do if you aren't getting enough speed. You'd go to your internet provider. The best case scenario is they up your speed and they don't charge you anymore, at least for a little while. But I'm guessing that most people get the, let's upgrade your speed and we'll charge you $50 to $75 more a month for that, which is really disappointing.
For sure. And knowing your internet provider's current internet plan offers, like just going to their site and looking up where you live, knowing that information can really help you avoid that situation where they're like, oh, we want to up your price by like a lot.
Yeah.
Because probably internet prices and the internet offers have changed since you have gotten your internet service hooked up, and there might be a better deal out there.
If I am desperate, if I just, I've already talked to my internet provider, they won't provide me any relief unless I start paying more, and I need internet. Is there a way to use my smartphone as a hotspot?
You definitely can use your smartphone as a hotspot, but I would say that for pretty dire situations, because cell phone companies tend to have much stricter data limits than internet companies. Last time I checked, most cell phone providers with, quote, unlimited, unquote, data actually only give you about 20 to 30 gigabytes of high-speed data before they throttle your speeds down to the kilobyte range, which is pretty slow and not really fast enough to sustain a hotspot.
Yeah, that happened to me. I did have to use my phone as a hotspot once. It was 5 a.m. I'm early morning reporter and my internet, of course, was not working. So I used my hotspot as data, but I forgot to turn it off. And 2 weeks later, I got a message from the phone company that says, you only have 10% of your data plan left. And I still had 2 to 2.5 weeks left, you know, for that month. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, oh, Lordy. So, yeah, things, I had to shut the phone off. I had to do all the thing. But I'm on an unlimited data plan with my phone. So I was shocked to get that message because, A, I'd never gotten it before, and, B, I thought I was unlimited, but it turns out unlimited is not really unlimited.
Yeah, it's unlimited with an asterisk. It's unlimited data, but a lot of the data isn't 4G data. It's slower data that basically makes it useless.
Lori, okay.
After a certain point.
Oh, my gosh. So if to wrap things up, if I am now required to work from home and I am struggling with my internet for whatever reason, what are three things that people need to know about either before they start working from home or to help them if they already are and having issues?
So my first piece of advice is to be informed about your internet plan and your internet needs. Working from home, like as a vastly general recommendation, you should have at least 10 megabits per second of dedicated download speed for you and at least 1 megabit per second of dedicated upload speed, especially if you're doing any video conferencing. Two, I mentioned this a little bit in number one, but be aware of your upload speeds. Working from home, especially if you work in broadcast like you do, or if you do a lot of video conferencing or there are several people in the house doing video calls, it requires a lot more upload speed than you'd usually use. I know that I have been using a lot more of that bandwidth while I've been working from home than before, and I use the internet quite a lot. So pay attention to your upload speed of your plan. It's usually about 10% of your total download speed, so it's much slower. And you don't usually use that much, but again, you use a lot more when you're working or schooling from home.
Well, I'm going to throw a number three in there is know how to negotiate with your internet provider.
For sure.
And the one thing you probably shouldn't do is call them up and go, you blankety blank blank. That's not a good way to get what you want.
For sure. There are people on the other end of the phone, and they're much more likely to be nice to you if you're nice to them.
Okay. Anything else we need to know about, Rebecca?
That's about it. You know about the internet now.
Yes, everything we need to know. Oh, yeah. And the other thing that I have issues with is when I have had problems, because I'm not in the office, I don't have access to IT people anymore.
Mm.
And that it was so handy to just, you either called them on the phone or they might have been helping somebody else just two cubicles down, and you could just go, hey, IT person, come help me. And you can't do that anymore. You are your own IT person. So you might want to get familiar with how everything works in your house.
If all else fails, turn it off and on again.
Yeah, do that. Then when you call up, in a nice way, say, I've already turned off my machine and turned it back on again, and I'm still having problems. Now what should I do?
Yep.
Rebecca Armstrong, you are staff writer at highspeedinternet.com. And thank you so much for helping us navigate a bit more about what we need to know and what we can do if we are working from home and have issues with our internet.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's hkelly@ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.